Today's scripture reading, Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody out here, especially our visitors, on this beautiful Sabbath morning that we have. We know that we are here, brothers and sisters, because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit has been good to each of us this week, amidst all the trials and temptations that come our way, things that go on in our lives daily. But we know that we are here in the presence of a holy God. And we just want to thank God, especially for His Son, to become our Savior and our Redeemer. This week is Thanksgiving, time when families get together, other people celebrate Thanksgiving, especially the memorial of the first Thanksgiving by our pilgrims so long ago, our forefathers. And probably some of you are going to go away. Some others are having their families come here. I know that. And I just pray that each one will have a happy Thanksgiving. But we know that so much has happened since that first Thanksgiving. The people that started this great nation and the ones after that to keep this nation alive for each one of us, we are thankful there for that. But even amongst all of this Thanksgiving, all this gratitude that we have for many of our freedoms that we know that are being taken away from us, especially God's freedoms, are being taken out of us. There's forces out there that seem to be working that we have no control over. And we can be thankful for our lives. We can be thankful for our families. Be thankful for our accomplishments and so much more. But even with all that happening, we also know that we have to give our true thanksgiving to be to the true one that is in control of all. The Creator God that we worship. And He allowed this great nation to become what it is today. Even though we know that it is eroding, but God has plans for this country. So as we think about the thanksgiving that we give to the Lord Jesus Christ, let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Creator of all, we as your children come together on this Sabbath day to honor and praise thy holy name, thanking you for Jesus as our Savior and the plan of redemption that we all owe our lives to. And that we know that we can have a joyous time to come when we will be able to see our Savior face to face. We just are thankful so much today, Father, for everything, because we know that everything comes from Thee. You have given it to us on loan. And we just pray that with our appreciation of that, that through faith and belief, that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. In His precious name, amen. Yes, our allegiance and our thanksgiving and our love needs to be given to the one who loved us so that he sent his only begotten son here to die for each one of us. We can love this nation and love what it represents, but our ultimate love and our thanksgiving has to be given to our Creator. We are going to have a fellowship and a Thanksgiving feast today, but our greatest Thanksgiving feast that we're going to have, which is in the very near future, is when we sit down at the banquet table with the King of Glory, with our inheritance given to us. And that is enough for us to have joy, Christian joy, in our lives right now as we continue to contemplate the work that Jesus has done for each one of us. We know that He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is working on our behalf in the most holy place, going over the books, whenever our names come up, we don't know. But we just pray that Jesus will be able to say to the Father, let them into the kingdom, for they love me. But thanksgiving, praise, joy, Christian joy. But to pursue that joy, we need to understand what it is. And what does a joyful Christian look like? How do you tell the difference between a joyful person and an unhappy person? You know, you can be happy that your team won. You can be giddy about a great opportunity. You can even act happy under some type of, but have pressure from something or someone. So what makes joy, Christian joy, different from these things? Christian joy is something that is unaffected by circumstances. It is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. Joy is deep. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope, especially in the Lord Jesus Christ, for we are his children. And as we look at Paul's message to the Philippians, we can be able to understand some of the Christian joy, the characteristics of it. And if you would turn to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we'll see just what it says here about the joy, the Christian joy that we can have. It is a shared joy. Let's look at verses 3 through 5, 7, and 8. 3 through 5, 7, and 8. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defiance and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my peace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. After the words of salutation that Paul has given to the Philippians, he tells the Philippians that he has happiness for them. And he's praying for them. But he doesn't just pray. He prays with joy. And his joy comes because of your fellowship in the gospel. And I pray that that's part of the joy that we have today, of the fellowship that each one of us can have in the gospel. Paul's joy is a shared joy, as it should be shared by each one of us. It's a fellowship in partnership, a little bit more than just what we spend time together. There should be a unity, a purpose that is held in common with each one of us. Think about the great experiences you've had, and I know that each one of us have had some. Perhaps the birth of a child, maybe a great honor paid to you, or even a life-changing experience. I know that by my wife's experience. Whatever the experience was to make you joy, your joy complete, you probably shared it with somebody else. And that's what it is. Shared joy is a deeper joy. And I pray that each one of us has that. Joy has to be a confident joy. And we can read that in Philippians 1:6, our scripture reading for today. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's right, to have that good work in us until Jesus comes. So we just pray that we will be there. He shares one of the greatest reasons for us to have joy. This is a very significant verse. Paul is noted for his deep thought, the theology that is set in simple words. And Paul affirms three things here in this simple passage. First, it was God who began the work of salvation. In other words, God is responsible for salvation. God is responsible for each one of our salvation. The Bible tells us that faith is even something that God created in us. And our salvation is not based on our goodness, but on His grace. It's not anchored in how obedient we are. Our salvation is based in the work that God has done. And these words are hard to contemplate. We live in a world where we hear that whatever we do is what counts. We can do anything we want. We believe that we are masters of our own destiny. And in some ways we are. Because we either will be in the end with Jesus or we will be no more. And the people of Philippi, I thought the same thing. And then God continues the work of salvation in us. We are told that He began the work. We know that salvation is a process. We don't become perfect believers at the moment of our conversion. We first are spiritual babes, and we need to grow. And I pray that each one of us is growing this Sabbath morning. Christians stumble. Christians make mistakes. And another characteristic is increasing joy. Our joy should be increasing every day. You can read that in verses 9 through 11. Where Paul prays that the believers will continue to grow, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. And it is the glory and the praise of God that we have to give to Him, all these fruits that we can have as we are representatives of His on this earth. As I spoke this morning, God depends on man to go out there and give the gospel message. So we know that we can do that and be there. And there are these people in Philippi. They were sure of their destiny, but they also knew that they should be growing in grace and growing in the faith that comes from God Himself. And we also today, we need to be continually growing in faith so that it grows stronger and stronger every day. Our Christian life can never come to a standstill. It needs to continue to grow. We need to be experiencing joy, so that we can see ourselves becoming more and more like Christ. But is the experience of joy unusual in a Christian? I pray that that's not the case. Many of us began our Christian life in a rainbow of joy, but then it gradually diminishes. By the time that many of them had become believers for a few years, they're just going through the motion. Their faith has become lifeless. And I pray that that's not the case with each one of us this morning. We have a work to do. That's to get the gospel message out there. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. And we need to be prepared. We need to help others to be prepared for all that also. That's why Paul's prayer should be significant to even to us today. He prays that our love may abound more and more. He's just not asking us to be strong, to feel strongly about each other. He wants us to grow in our life for the Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a love that is based on the knowledge and the depth in studying the Word of God. We need to be studying this book each and every day. We need to keep on progressing in our ultimate life to reach the reward that God has given to each one of us, and that is eternal life. And it needs to be enjoyable, even with all the things that do happen in our lives, to be joyful because of what God has done for us, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each and every one. He shed his blood for us. God made that covenant so long ago with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with the people of Israel, and with us today, that if we accept Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we may have eternal life. And that is joyful for each one of us. We know that our joy cannot be isolated. There's millions of people out there in the world that we need to share our joy with. And it makes us a part of a tremendous movement for God. Our joy is anchored in God and his promises. He keeps every one of his promises. We know that some are conditional and some are unconditional. But each one God keeps. We're not confident of our salvation in anything that we do of ourselves, because we know that that is not possible. Have you ever told people that you're going to heaven? Or were you afraid to do that? We know that telling people that we're going to heaven is not ignorance. It's a confident declaration of God's promises that he has given to his people. And we know that Christian joy is the act of growth in each one of our lives to truly be children of the living God. And as we grow in faith, we can overcome unfavorable opinions and past hurts. We can overcome, and we allow the freedom to spring forth in all of our dealings because of the forgiveness that God gives to each and every one of us. If we repent of our sins, if we have that faith and that belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, our desires are to think more or less of earth, but more about heaven, because one day soon we're going to be there. Our behavior should reflect Christ in whatever we do. And we know that some reason it's funny, we find it easier to trust God in tough times. And that's when Christian joy really starts, when we accept God's gift of salvation. And it should grow year by year. This year is almost over with. We'll start another year. How much closer are we to the time when Jesus will come for his people? We have to stop running from God and run towards him. And we know that our joy starts when we stop trying to do our own things. And we have to rest in his grace. And I hope that we all are in the process of our joyful journey to the new kingdom that God has prepared for each and every one of us. You and I are part of a church. And I pray that each one of us has meaningful meanings here in our church. But the question we have to ask, do we belong to Jesus? Joy comes from having a relationship. Joy comes when we know that whatever happens, we are held in the arms of the Father. Joy comes when we love him more than anything else in this world, more than anything that we have. And we think that the world has a lot to offer, but it really has nothing to offer. All the joy that we might have when he is able to look into the mirror and see a bit of Christ's reflection. And I pray that that happens to each and every one of us. As we grow in grace and we give thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. the price paid once and for us for 2,000 years ago, that we might have life today and more abundantly, but the thanksgiving that we will be with our Jesus, with our Savior and our Redeemer for eternity. Our Heavenly Father, yes, your faithfulness, that we may know that your promises are true, that we may trust in thee. Thank you, Father, once again for Jesus, for the plan of redemption, for the assurance that we will be with him one day, that all things will be made new, that there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. Everything will be the way that it was in the beginning. So we pray, Father, that each one of us will have that Christian joy in our lives and that we will share it with others as we go from this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen.